Greetings, everyone. This is Fred Coulter. Welcome to Church at Home. Church at Home is sponsored by the Christian Biblical Church of God, and we are dedicated to restoring original Christianity for today. But what is happening to Christianity in the world? It is on a very rapid decline. Why is that? Now, here in a special report from Pew Research Center, here's what they have to say. The religious landscape in America continues to change at a rapid clip. The Pew Research Center telephone surveys conducted in 2018 and 2019, 65% of Americans describe themselves as Christian when asked about their religion. Now, that's down 12% over the past decade. Meanwhile, unaffiliated share of the population consisting of people who describe their religious identity as atheist, agnostic, or nothing in particular. Now, the nothings are also known as none. That has risen from 17% to 26%. Both Protestantism and Catholicism are experiencing losses of population share. Meanwhile, all the subsets of religiously unaffiliated population, a group known as religious nuns, have seen their numbers swell. Self-described atheists now account for 4% of adults, up modestly but significantly from 2% in 2009. Agnostics make up 5% of U.S. adults, up from 3% a decade ago. And 17% of Americans now describe their religion as nothing in particular, and that's up from 12% in 2009. Members of non-Christian religions have grown modestly as a share of the adult population. Now, what do we make with all of this? Let's first of all start out with the agnostics. Now, agnostics don't believe in God, and they believe in evolution. Now, you need to write for our three books. How credible is the Bible? God, no God, and geology, catastrophism, and scripture. Now, those three, if you are agnostic or atheist, these will help you with the truth. So let's approach these first. Let's understand what the Bible says about atheists. Let's come to Proverbs 28 first. And let's look at what it says about someone who trusts in his own heart. That is, he thinks or she thinks that they are of themselves perfectly capable of taking care of themselves. They don't need God. They don't believe in God. They don't believe in religion. Verse 26, Proverbs 28. He who trusts in his own heart is a fool. That's what God says. Now, let's see how that is expressed in Psalm 14. Are you an atheist? Now, I doubt if any atheist would stick around and listen to church at home, but if you have enough courage to do so, stick around and listen. Maybe you will learn something. Let me ask all the atheists. What can you produce in yourself so that you can live forever? You can't. So what makes you think that there is no God?
I'd say bone cancer in children? What's that about? How dare you? How dare you create a world in which there is such misery that is not our fault? It's not right. It's utterly, utterly evil. Why should I respect a capricious, mean-minded, stupid God who creates a world which is so full of injustice and pain? That's what I'd say.
And you think you're going to get in?
No, but I wouldn't want to. I wouldn't want to get in on his terms. They're wrong. Now, if I died and it was Pluto, Hades, and if it was the 12 Greek gods, then I would have more truck with it, because the Greeks were... They didn't pretend not to be human in their appetites and in their capriciousness and in their unreasonableness. They didn't present themselves as being all-seeing, all-wise, all-kind, all-beneficent. Because the God who created this universe, if it was created by God, is quite clearly a maniac. Utter maniac. Totally selfish. We have to spend our life on our knees thanking him? What kind of God would do that? Yes, the world is very splendid, but it also has in it insects whose whole life cycle is to burrow into the eyes of children and make them blind. They eat outwards from the eyes. Why? Why did you do that to us? You could easily have made a creation in which that didn't exist. It is simply not acceptable. So, you know, atheism is not just about not believing there's a God, but on the assumption that there is one, what kind of God is he? It's perfectly apparent that he is monstrous, utterly monstrous, and deserves no respect whatsoever.
Now, many atheists are turned off because they used to go to church, and what is happening in the churches is absolutely incredibly bad. It's the same old, same old, same old, same old, same old. And they figure, why go to church and all of this, and then all of the leaders are hypocrites.
The Catholic Church facing a cascade of damning revelations of sexual abuse by priests. Just this week, the Vatican acknowledging secret guidelines for priests who father children, urging them to leave the priesthood.
Zero tolerance.
Zero tolerance.
The latest statistics show more than 6,800 priests have been credibly accused of sexual abuse in the U.S. since 1950. The number of victims, 19,000.
At stake here, the church's very credibility and the faith of the world's 1.2 billion Catholics.
But nevertheless, if you're an atheist, listen to what God says. Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool has said in his heart, there is no God. They are corrupt. Now, maybe if you're an atheist, you think you're a good person. But corrupt, according to the definition of God, is that if you are an atheist, you are corrupt.
Atheism, the real truth.
Humans make value.
What is your moral standard? What are the secrets in your life that you never tell anyone else? Why do you reject God? They have done abominable works. There is none who does good. The Lord looked down from heaven upon the children of men to see if there were any who understand, who seek after God. Now, we'll talk about seeking after God a little bit later. But what is it in your mind? Are you angry at God? Are you angry at a church? Are you angry at someone who is religious? Are you angry at your mother and father because they proved to be hypocrites? Notice, concerning the atheist, they have all turned aside. Together they have become corrupt. There is none who does good, not even one. Because even if you do something that is accepted in the world as good, and you deny God, that is still corrupt, because your motive is not a loving heart from God. Now, let's come to Romans, the first chapter. And this will tell us exactly what's happening in America today and exactly why we're facing so many troubles. You ever seen a time of so many troubles, politically, religiously, internationally? down to almost every person's life? Trouble and difficulties? Well, here's why. Let's pick it up in verse 18. Romans, the first chapter. And this was written by the Apostle Paul, describing all of the civilizations leading up to the time that he was writing. But it was so inspired of God that it describes every civilization and generation down through time, because that's how God looks at the world. Indeed, the wrath of God is revealed from heaven upon all ungodliness, and atheism is ungodliness, and unrighteousness of men who suppress the truth in unrighteousness, because that which may be known of God was manifest to them, for God has manifested it to them. How did he do that? Well, let's read on. For the invisible things of him are perceived from the creation of the world and the creation of the universe. Why, if you're so intelligent that you would reject God, that you are so ignorant that you think that the universe and all of the things set in the order that they're set in the heavens just came about from a big bang? Well, you know what God says to the atheist? Get your own big bang and create your own dirt. And you can't do it. So they're being understood by the things that were made, both as eternal power and Godhead, so that they are without excuse. And think about this, and you'll hear me say this many, many times. There are more Bibles in the world than at any time in the history of the world. And it's the complete Bible in almost all the important languages of the earth. And it's there, and you can read it, you can prove it. That's what the Apostle Paul said. He said, prove all things. Prove whether it is good. God says it is true. God says he doesn't lie. God says that he is the one who controls everything. And think about that the next time you lose your breath. God give breath and life. And as we covered in What Has God Done for You, every human being in the world lives and moves and has their being in God. Now here's what happens when that takes place. While professing themselves to be the wise ones, they became fools and changed the glory of the incorruptible God into the likeness of an image of corruptible man, and of birds and four-footed creatures and creeping things. That's all of the religions. And the atheists are right in this. All of these other religions are really silly, demonic, satanic. Now, they may not say that, but that's what the Bible says. Now, notice what happens, and you ask yourself this question. While I read this, if you're an atheist, did this happen to you? For this cause, God also abandoned them to uncleanness through the lust of their hearts to disgrace their bodies between themselves. Is that why we have so much sexual perversion? The alphabet perverts?
Appreciate you being here so very much. I'm Ellen, and I'm gay. 20 years ago I said that, it was a much bigger deal then.
A couple of years ago I was on the cover of Time magazine.
Yes, you were. First transgender on the cover of Time magazine.
I want to be a spokesperson for everyone, you know, straight people, gay people, bisexual, anything, you know. I don't want it to be limited.
Right. Your character on the show identifies non-binary.
Yes.
And you also identify that way. You are a trailblazer. I think it's just about letting people be who they are, love who they want to love. And if you're not hurting anybody, there's nothing wrong with it.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Applause for that. All right. I cannot tell you or thank you enough for what you have done for the gay community. So thank you.
Who exchanged the truth of God for the lie? You threw away the word of God for the lie that there is no God. And they worship and serve the created thing more than the one who is the creator who is blessed forever. Amen. This describes our world today. Now for the one who's an agnostic. Now an agnostic is one who says, well, I don't know. I can't say yes. I can't say no. That's why you need to write for these three booklets that we have. But let's come to Isaiah, the 40th chapter, and let's see God's challenge to everyone who is in doubt. And look at the things that God has created and the heavens that God has made and all that is on the earth and everything all fits together and know that God has made it. If you look at the things that God has done and the truth of what God has said, which is all truth, by the way, listen to this. Who has measured the waters in the hollow of his hand and meted out the heavens with a span? Look at the oceans, look at the lakes, look at the land, look at the heavens, all that God has made. Look at the seasons. Look at the sun and the moon and the stars and all the planets in our solar system and meted out the heavens with a span. Whew! Think of that. And who has comprehended the dust of the earth in a measure and weighed the mountains in scales and the hills in balance? Who has directed the Spirit of the Lord? Who has been his counselor that he might instruct him? With whom did he take counsel and who instructed him and taught him in the path of judgment and taught him knowledge and made known the way of understanding to him? Now, if you think you're so important and if you think you're so self-sufficient and if you think that you can give to yourself something greater than yourself, listen to this. Behold, the nations are like a drop in a bucket and are counted as the small dust of the scales. Behold, he takes up the isles as a very little thing. Now that's all the islands everywhere in the world as a very little thing. Verse 17, all nations are before him as nothing, and are counted by him as less than nothing and vanity. And look at the nations when they get their great military power, and they have parade, and the soldiers are marching, and they look so strong and mean and threatening, and then along come the tanks, and then along come the missiles, and then along come the special services with all of their things. All of that might. Combine it with all the nations of the world. Add in there all of the nuclear bombs and things that the nations have. God says, to whom then will you compare God? Or what likeness will you compare to him? Then he talks about those who make images. And making an image is another dumb, foolish thing. Do they walk? Do they talk? Do they have power? No. So God says, verse 21, this is why you need the Bible to educate yourself. This is why you need to read the Bible, study the Bible, and the Bible that you need is the Holy Bible in its original order. the best translation in English now available. And you can go to afaithfulversion.org and you can get one for yourself. And this is incredible, because we have for you what you need. Commentaries in the front. How do we get the Bible? How did it come about? Why do we have it today? Why is it necessary for us? Who wrote it? When was it written? And by the way, just a little sidebar, only 40 men wrote the Bible. And the New Testament, only 8. Now, do you suppose that God is so weak that he cannot ensure that they will write what he wants when he inspires them to write it? It's so inspired that Paul said, all scripture is God-breathed or God-spirited. So God says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits upon the circle of the earth, and its people are like grasshoppers. It is he who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in, who brings the rulers to nothing and makes the judges of the earth as vanity. That's quite a challenge. Are you willing to take up the challenge and move out of your comfortable, self-imposed position of being an agnostic? What are you going to do when trouble comes? Wouldn't you like to have God help direct your steps? Watch over you, place his angels around you? That's why God wants fellowship with those who love him and obey him. And that's the whole story of the Bible. Here's what people do. Verse 27. Why do you say, O Jacob and O Israel, you speak, my way is hidden from the Lord and my cause is disregarded by my God? Not so. God is so powerful that he says, in the judgment day, everyone is going to give account to Jesus Christ. And he is going to judge the secrets of the heart. Huh? Now that's pretty powerful. So think about that. Let's read on. He says, have you not known? Have you not heard that the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, does not grow weak or weary, and that his understanding no one can fathom? Now that's quite a saying, isn't it, huh? Now, let's come to Matthew, the 7th chapter. Let's see something else. Christ summarizes the way of God, and it's very simple. It's based on the 10 commandments. Now, do you know the 10 commandments? You might go back and read them and study them in Exodus 20. And the 10 commandments, there is nothing wrong with them. In fact, they're all based on love and righteousness. Love to God and love to neighbor. So here, Jesus summarizes it this way. Therefore, everything that you would have men do to you, okay? What do you want people to do to you? Do you want them to like you, to love you? Do you want them to be kind to you? Do you want them to not steal from you, not commit adultery with your husband or wife, not murder, not lie? But of course. So also do to them. Now notice what this is. New Testament doctrine. For this is the law and the prophets. That's the whole thing of it. Isn't that an amazing thing? And that's what God wants. So why would you be a fence-sitter to be an agnostic? That you don't know if God exists or not. You don't know whether you would go to church or not. And maybe you've tried going to church, but maybe you've been turned off at church. And this is why we have church at home. Church at home so that you can connect with God and connect with the Scriptures and connect with the Spirit of God, because you're not going to find it in the churches of the world. That's why they're declining. That's why people are leaving. And maybe that's why you're an agnostic, because you tried going to church and it didn't work.
You see, what I found is most people, not all, most people don't reject Jesus. But you know who they reject? One of his followers. You know why most people don't go to church? Because they went once. Seriously, they went. And it wasn't good. It wasn't. It was a terrible, awful experience.
Welcome back. Well, a California pastor challenging believers to rethink their faith by quitting church, or at least the modern attitude towards church, and taking a more active role in their religious community. That pastor, Chris Sonskin, author of Quit Church, Your Life Will Be Better If You Do, joins us now.
Our approach towards church and towards the things of God, and we just kind of, you know, we're losing what it really is all about, and getting plugged in. There's so many things that God wants to do in all of our lives, but we miss out on so much because of our sort of casual approach towards really the principles of God and what the local church provides and being involved with that local church.
People would say, if you don't go to church, though, how are you reminded to give back? Because you've seen the numbers. I mean, I'm looking at this Pew poll back from 2014, and it shows that just 36% of Americans attend religious services weekly. And those are ones that just admit that. Who knows what the real numbers are? And that was from years ago, and the numbers keep going down.
Well, why don't you try church at home? We've got so many things on Church at Home and in our other website, truthofgod.org. That will be absolutely tremendous for you to understand that the Word of God is true, the way of God is righteous, and God has the power to help you, to intervene in your life, and the keys that you need to do to make that happen. That's why you will hear me say many, many times over, and the reason I do is because it's the first key and the first step, and that is something you can do in your home, and that is remember to keep the Sabbath holy. And the Sabbath is Saturday, the seventh day of the week today. Now, a little sidebar on this. God calculates the day from sunset to sunset. So therefore, the Sabbath begins Friday night at sunset. Now, that may upset some of your plans and some of the things you want to do. But if you take the Sabbath challenge and keep the Sabbath at home from Friday night sundown to Saturday night sundown and study the Bible and use church at home and use truthofgod.org, you're going to find that there's no reason for you to be an agnostic. There's no reason for you to hold back and doubt. Everything is there for you to prove. And what you're going to find is most of what you find in the churches, at least 50% of it is based on lies. And since it's Sunday keeping, that's not Sabbath. So once again, thank you for inviting me into your home. So be sure and write for the booklets that I've mentioned here. And so until next time, this is Fred Calder saying, so long, everyone.